You're listening to Advocate Radio. This is the Lake Highlands podcast for Tuesday, July 13th. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of different topics. First of all, the trail closing, White Rock Trail closing on Northwest Highway, and also the current situation for supportive housing in Lake Highlands. Here with me today are neighborhood blogger Carol Toller. Hi,
hello.
Carol.
Hello.
And also neighborhood columnist Ellen Raff.
Hi, good to be here.
Lake Highlands editor Christina Hughes-Babb is with us.
Hello.
And I'm editor Carrie Mitchell. Let's start by talking about the trail closing. Christina, you wrote about this on the blog. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's happening?
Right. Well, I started, as much as I use the trail, which is close to every day, I didn't know that this was going to happen. And I had followed, you know, in the past, the plans for the Northwest Highway and TxDOT project with the bridge, and I hadn't heard about this either. Until one of our blog readers emailed me, and he was very, very upset because a construction worker basically told him as he was riding his bike along the path that this was about to happen. So that's when I called the Parks Department, and you know, the guy I talked to confirmed that yes, this section of the trail at Northwest Highway and Lothar. The pedestrian crossing and, you know, all traffic crossing north-south will be shut down for a period of about 2 years. Now, that's their estimate, 2 years. So we all know that that's a guess that it could probably go longer than that based on the experiences that we've had with, you know, projects around the lake and with TxDOT and things like that. So...
Shocking.
It really affects those of us in Lake Highlands way more than, I guess, the people at Lakewood, although the people in Lakewood and East Dallas are probably upset about it too. But it affects us because we come from Lake Highlands either, on bikes or joggers. We'll jog from, you know, or ride the trail from Lake Highlands to White Rock Lake. And then there's, you said you have a friend who lives in the White Rock Trails neighborhood, mm-hmm. So a lot of commuters, you know, use that exit as well, and they're going to be inconvenienced.
And I drive my car down White Rock Trail and then down Lothar to then go park and walk around White Rock Lake, so it's going to affect me too. And I agree with you, Christina, that it was a surprise to the users, although... I found the brand new signs ready to go and laying down in the grass near the site. So obviously someone knew far enough ahead of time to have some signs printed and installed, and they're ready to go. But only the people who use the trail every day didn't know.
Yeah. I think they were waiting as long as they could to tell us about this, honestly. When I talked to the guy at the Parks Department, he said, well, you're one of the first ones to call, but I'm assuming that you know, now, once everybody knows about this, we're going to be getting lots of calls. And they've forwarded all of their calls and concerns to TxDOT, which, if you see the blog post, the email address for that contact person is there.
And we'll make sure
to contact him.
We'll make sure to link to that post in this in the podcast post. But, yeah, it's obviously upsetting for people who use that on a regular basis.
Well, and the brand-new Dallas Bikes Works store, I feel sorry for them. I think they were ready to go.
It's going to be tough on them.
It will.
And they're right there at the corner of Lothar and Northwest Highway.
Right. Took over that ugly PT's building that Bill Keffer worked so hard to get rid of. And now they just won't. The access to them will be tough.
Yeah.
Now, on the bright side, when this does get done in 2 years, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt, it's going to be a huge improvement, but 2 years is an awfully...
It is a very long time for a north-south route to be closed, especially when you're considering it's not just a car route, but a pedestrian, a major pedestrian and bicycle
route. An alternate crossing, which is about a half mile down at... Buckner and Northwest Highway, is not the safest spot to cross the street by any means. In fact, a couple of people were hit by a car there 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's a very difficult place to cross the street.
Yeah.
Well, maybe now, since we're already under construction, would be the time to campaign for a pedestrian and bicycle bridge across Northwest Highway.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Email your council councilman.
My question is why, I mean, why would they not want to notify everyone in advance? Is because they're afraid of our great power?
Yeah, that could be.
We have such great power.
He kind of indicated to me, and I keep saying he, I can't remember the name of the man I talked to at the city, but it is in the blog post that I wrote. He did indicate that the Parks Department was working on an alternate plan for pedestrians and cyclists that would be safe, and they haven't actually come up with that plan yet, so, but he did say that that's something that they're focused on, so hopefully the neighborhood pressure, I don't think, will stop TxDOT from doing what they need to do, but we might be able to, encourage them to get moving on an alternate, trail for the cyclists and the joggers. And I don't know about the traffic. That's probably going to be a pain either way because it's just construction, so...
Yeah, I think it's probably the worst for people who live in White Rock Valley simply mm-hmm. because there's only a couple easy ways out of that neighborhood if you live in the southern part of that neighborhood near Flagpole Hill.
Right.
But such is life, I guess. Well, talking about power, Ellen, since we'll just transition we'll transition to our next topic, which is the supportive housing situation in Lake Highlands. As we've talked about in a previous podcast, there's been some announcements recently from the Dallas Housing Authority to move different kinds of people, homeless, formerly incarcerated, and such, to various locations throughout the city. And a couple of the locations they chose were in Lake Highlands. One of those, since late last week, has been dropped. The group that was going to move into the
Woodside.
It was Woodside Condominiums. And Christine, why don't you talk about that? They decided to pull out. Tell us.
Well, I mean, all I really know is that there was going to be 70 overall supportive housing clients moving into our neighborhood at two different apartment complexes or condominiums. There was going to be 50 formerly homeless people and or families, I'm not sure, living at the Trinity Palms. And then there was going to be 20 formerly incarcerated people living at Woodside Condominiums. And I guess the neighborhood was, I don't think everyone in the neighborhood, but a very loud voice of community members rallied against this and said that this was a really bad idea for a couple of different reasons. And I think as of last Friday, I believe, the Dallas Housing Authority did concede and drop the project for the Woodside Condominiums, which I think caused the most fear among the people that were opposing it. Because
this was 20 units of people who were formerly incarcerated right. that were going to move into.
And right. the units are located across Forest from Walmart, basically at the corner of Forest and Abrams, near that Bank of America there. There was a lot of discussion about the reason given was the crime in the area. And the discussion was about crime at Forest Idalia, which is basically the units that are still on the table that probably will go in are at Forest Idalia, but this is Forest Abrams.
Right.
And the group that was the most vocal and the most active and the most organized against it was the Moss Haven Moms. And if there were children living in that condo that were part of this program, they would go to Moss Haven Elementary, which is very nearby. Mm-hmm. And they were concerned. And they were, as I say, very organized and rallied their troops and had email chains going and
petitions.
Mm-hmm. And caught the ear of Jerry Allen and Marianne Resett Housing Authority.
So what is this? They've pulled out. They're not. As far as we know, the 50 units are still happening near Forest Idalia and for the homeless families or individuals. But as of now, the 20 units are not. There's a lot of discussion going on as a result of Christina's post on the blog. Some people saying kind of mixed. One is, I'm glad the city listened to us. I mean, the people spoke up. We were heard. As you mentioned, Ellen, the power happened. There have been other comments about, well, but would this have really been the worst thing for us if this had happened?
Right.
What do you think, Ellen?
Well, let me just say, I am a Moss Haven mom. So
there
I
you
was
go.
Part of the email frenzy. And but I didn't really speak up because I really wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to watch it happen. There are a lot of things that I would rather not have in the neighborhood. I wish we could have stopped the Walmart. I would have liked something else to be there. And now it turns out that one of the arguments against the people going in across the street from the Walmart is that it's a hot spot for crime at night. So I wish that we there are so many things that the residents of Lake Highlands choose to say no to, and we're just so excited when we get listened to. So I really want to say that I really applaud the community for getting involved. I'm not so sure that it would be worse living nearby the formerly incarcerated than the not yet incarcerated, but you know, this is one battle that's over, at least right now, for mm-hmm. Woodside. I think some of these programs are probably very good if you look at how they work in other cities, and maybe one concern would be that the concentration is so high, 50 mm-hmm. units. If they could cut that in half over at
Trinity Palms?
Trinity Palms. If they, mm-hmm. it, you know, then it might make people feel a little better.
Right. I'd even go a step further than Ellen said, and to say that I think that it's kind of sad that we fought so hard against this before finding out exactly what it was about. And I think a lot of neighbors learned over the last couple of weeks that what is in those apartments right now is scary. It's people who have a great deal of problems and no support whatsoever. And I actually, you know, went out to a project that is run by Project Reconnect, which was going to be in charge of the Woodside condominiums. And I met some of the clients. You know, I'm not going to say that anybody who's, you know, spent time in prison is necessarily an angel, but these are people who have spent several years in prison for nonviolent things, mostly, you know, related to substance abuse problems that they had. And they are out. They joined Project Reconnect because they sincerely want to change their lives, and they're tired of getting into trouble. You know, they want a home and they want, you know, to live. And so I think that having that project in place might have, you know, it's arguable that that could have been a better alternative than what's there. And another thing that prevents me from saying, yay, this is a victory, is the reasoning that, you know, Marianne Russ stated to the Morning News that, yeah, after looking at this area, there's an alarming amount of crime there. So, yeah, we don't feel like it's safe for the parolees to live there. So what does that say for us? That is frightening. And, you know, just like Ellen said, how about all of that energy? You know, we just demonstrated over the last couple of weeks what that energy can do and what it can do as far as getting people to listen to us, I guess. So now that we've learned this, I mean, we already knew that neighborhood was high in crime. But, you know, there's really specific things going on there, such as sex offenders living in that apartment complex that I think that we could do something about.
And they're unsupervised, mm-hmm. and they don't have a support system. And if you pull up the sex offender registry and put in your zip code, it goes pop, pop, pop all over that
Absolutely.
Complex and all over the nearby complexes. But I do agree with you about the perception of the entire Metroplex about our little neighborhood, and I did write a blog on that as
right.
well, that, you know, the headline screaming in the Dallas Morning mm-hmm. News and on KRLD radio and whatever was, crime in Lake Highlands too high for this program. You know, that was the headline from everywhere, and I hate that for our neighborhood. I've got relatives that live all over the Dallas area, Preston Hollow and Holland Park and all the, you know, Plano and all different places, Richardson. And they think we're crazy to be raising four children in Lake Highlands. And they
they're scared for you now.
They're scared for us. And we've even had in-laws who have said, listen, I'll loan you some money to buy a house in another neighborhood. And that makes me sad because it's this kind of headline that, you know, we know our neighborhood is wonderful, but the rest of the world hears us screaming, our neighborhood is too high in crime for these programs. And I just hate that, the perception. I it's one of those deals where the good news isn't heard, the bad news is.
Mm-hmm. And we still don't know what's yet to come with this, because I don't know if just because they drive, because it's too soon to know whether the neighborhoods that were opposing this will still continue to oppose. I live in Woodbridge, which is close to the Trinity Palms. And I'm not so sure, and I don't know any of this because I haven't talked to any of my neighbors since Friday, but I'm not so sure that they're ready to just go, okay, so you're just going to move in the 50 into supportive housing. Well, cool. All right. We're okay with that. I don't really see that necessarily happening. I think there's still going to be some resistance to this happening. So I would stay tuned for more for more on that.
We will continue following this, of course. Well, we've reached the end. We're going to go around and do a quick shameless neighborhood plugs this week. Carol, you want to start us off?
I will. The Lake Highlands High School varsity and JV cheerleaders are having Red Out, which is the annual game against Berkner, and they want to fill the stands up with red, so they're selling red T-shirts. And proceeds will go to charity, and that game is October 15th. But they're selling the T-shirts now, so call your favorite cheerleader and ask to buy a Red Out shirt.
Great. Ellen, what do you have?
Well, I have a plug is a great word, because I had a tire that had a slow leak. And I had to keep stopping and putting air in my tire, and you know, it costs 75 cents every time you do that, which is kind of annoying. So I finally went to Lake Highlands Automotive today and got it fixed, and I said, do you allow people to come in here and fill their tires for free? And they said, yes, they do. So that's my plug, is for Lake Highlands Automotive.
That's good to know.
And I also want to say that if anybody knows anyone who wants to differentiate themselves as a great service station, if you would only just offer free air, that will be the station that I'll go to.
Me too.
My shameless plug is actually my daughter's about to turn 1 year old next week. And I was looking at her hair today. She's got these great bows, and they're actually made by somebody in Lake Highlands. Her name is Julie Peak, and she makes Julie's bows, and they are the cutest, the best bows that we've had all year long. And so I have to make a shame.
Cute.
They are.
To
and she, to every color, and she, yeah, thank you, Christina. she even allows people to kind of bring clothes over and match to colors, and it's just darling. So I'll make sure there's a link on to her website so that you can order Julie's bows if you have little girls. I think that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening to the Lake Highlands podcast. Check in with us next week.